In the remote hollows of 1930s Kentucky, Cussie Mary Carter navigates life with two extraordinary circumstances: her rare blue skin and her determination to serve as a packhorse librarian. The last known carrier of methemoglobinemia, a blood disorder turning her skin a striking cobalt blue, Cussie faces constant discrimination from a community that sees her as neither white nor black, but something otherworldly. Children run at her approach, while adults cross the street, whispered superstitions trailing in her wake. Yet amidst this isolation, Cussie finds purpose through Roosevelt's Works Progress Administration, earning $28 monthly to deliver books to Kentucky's most isolated families. Traversing treacherous mountain paths on Remule Junia, she braves steep cliffs, swollen creeks, and wild animals to reach remote hollows where children's excited cries of "Bookwoman's here!" give her a sense of belonging she's never known. Through these journeys, Cussie witnesses literature transforming lives. Children learn their letters, adults master practical skills, and the elderly find escape from hardship through stories that transport them beyond their hollow. Despite Cussie's fierce independence, her coal miner father, slowly dying from black lung disease, arranges her marriage to Charlie Frazier, an elderly man who accepts land as dowry. This transaction reflects harsh economic realities where women's autonomy fell victim to financial necessity. On their wedding night, Frazier reveals his prejudice, denouncing Cussie as a blue devil before attempting to smother her, leaving her unconscious and bruised. When Frazier is found dead the next morning, Pa handles the situation with grim practicality, quietly burying both the man and Cussie's courting candle under a pine. Though scarred, Cussie demonstrates remarkable resilience, reclaiming her identity as a packhorse librarian. Frazier's inherited mule becomes unexpectedly meaningful. She names it Junia, and their relationship evolves beyond mere utility, their shared trauma creating an almost mystical bond as they navigate dangerous mountain paths together. Cussie's book route becomes a lifeline connecting isolated families to the wider world. 16-year-old Angeline Moffitt touches Cussie's blue hand without hesitation, forming a treasured friendship. During one visit, Cussie notices Willie, Angeline's husband, has blue fingernails and a blue toe, possibly sharing her condition. At the schoolhouse, teacher Winnie Parker and her students greet the bookwoman enthusiastically. Young Henry, aspiring to become a librarian despite teasing, gifts Cussie his spelling bee prize, a single pineapple lifesaver candy she keeps as a keepsake. Nearly blind Loretta Adams refuses library books but welcomes Cussie reading from her family Bible, offering wisdom. Them cloths are a lot like folks. In the end, we's all fabric cut from his cloth. Not everyone welcomes her initially. Mrs. Flynn rejects government books until Cussie leaves materials under a willow tree for young Timmy. Later, Mrs. Flynn requests another scrapbook after successfully using a recipe that impressed everyone, showing how practical knowledge can overcome prejudice. Prejudice shadows Cussie's every step. Preacher Vester Frazier becomes her most dangerous enemy, once restraining both Cussie and Junia while condemning her work as spreading Satan's word. His assault intensifies when he pins her against a tree, threatening to baptize her, a euphemism for drowning her after sexual violation, a fate other blue people have suffered. Only Junia's protective charge saves Cussie, sending Frazier fleeing. At the library center, fellow librarian Harriet enforces segregation, dramatically pointing to the "no colored" sign when Cussie tries helping injured Queenie, another packhorse librarian. Town visits become trials of endurance. During an Independence Day celebration, Cussie approaches with her carefully prepared scripture cake, only to face rejection from women who label her a heathen and disgraceful spectacle. Institutional prejudice manifests most clearly through Sheriff Kimbo's enforcement of anti-miscegenation laws against Cussie's marriage to Jackson, showing how legal systems codify discrimination regardless of character or community contributions. After Preacher Frazier is found dead on the Carters' property, Doc suggests medical testing to protect Cussie from lynching. At St. Joseph Hospital, she endures humiliating examinations as doctors collect samples, treating her as a specimen rather than a person. Doc administers methylene blue, which transforms Cussie's skin white, revealing a pretty stranger with pink lips and rosy cheeks. However, this change brings severe side effects, violent nausea, headaches, fever, and debilitating weakness. Pa refuses the treatment for himself, pointing to his coal blackened hands. "The only thing that I'm needing fixed is this black sickness inside of me," highlighting how mining has poisoned him more than any genetic condition. Despite her new appearance, prejudice persists as town women continue to reject Cussie. Jackson Lovett offers the perspective that changes everything. "There's nothing wrong with your color, being you." His acceptance helps Cussie embrace her natural blue skin, realizing, "This must be enough. I am enough." When Cussie discovers Willie and Angeline Moffat's tragedy, Willie hanging from a tree and Angeline dying in childbirth, she finds an unexpected gift. Their newborn daughter, Honey, has blue-tinged skin, revealing Willie's hidden blue ancestry. With her final breath, Angeline begs Cussie to take Honey, knowing no one else would accept a blue child. Despite Pa's initial resistance, Cussie insists Honey must be related to them, possibly through Pa's uncle. The baby's blue fingernail and winning smile eventually soften Pa's heart. Through Honey, the very last of me becomes the next generation of her rare bloodline. Cussie also builds chosen family through her book route. When she introduces Honey to elderly Loretta as my baby, Loretta asks no questions but eagerly holds the infant. The most surprising connection comes through Jackson Lovett, who courts Cussie despite societal taboos. After Pa's death in a mining accident, Jackson provides support, retrieves Cussie's discarded courting candle, and proposes marriage, promising she can keep her book route and vowing to love their children, blue or white. Throughout Kentucky's hollows, books become vehicles of transformation. For school children, stories expand horizons beyond their hardscrabble existence, with young Henry dreaming of becoming a librarian. For adults, literature provides practical knowledge during the Depression's isolation. Mrs. Flynn changes her opinion about government books after a recipe impresses her neighbors. Martha Hanna requests magazines for new medical remedies as mountain women embrace modern approaches. R.C. Cole eagerly awaits newspapers connecting him to the outside world. Even Jackson and Cussie bond over the good earth, finding common ground through literature. Books offer perhaps the truest freedom. In Cussie's world, literature creates spaces where blue skin matters less than shared stories. When young Honey proudly declares herself a bookwoman like her mother, we witness the novel's central truth. Knowledge breaks cycles of isolation, creating possibilities across generations. In our divided times, we need more book women and men, those willing to traverse difficult terrain, carrying stories that remind us of our shared humanity. Like Cussie, we're all different shades of the same cloth, each deserving to be seen beyond skin color.